This morning, this message completes the things that took place up to this day, Palm Sunday. And of course, after today, each Monday, Tuesday, and then through Thursday, Jesus will be confronted by the Sanhedrins and Pharisees and all of those who opposed him. He went be going to the garden to pray, my knowledge, and of course he'll be arrested there or taken where he'll be tried, and then on Friday, crucifixion. So this message today will be a part of what took place during the Holy Week, and the scriptures here, Luke entitled it, or the caption is there a resurrection? And the verse that I'll be reading is taken from Luke chapter 20, verse 27 through 39. And of course, next Sunday will be Easter Sunday, and I'll be sharing the message on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So turn with me to Luke 20, and I'll begin with verse 27. Now there came to him some of the Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection. And they questioned him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife, and he is childless, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children of his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died childless. And the second, now Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Old Testament. This is close to it, three words in verse 30. And then 31, and the third married her, and in the same way all seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her. Jesus said to them, very wisely, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to the age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot even die anymore, because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush, where he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Some of the scribes answered and said, Teacher, you have spoken well. For they did not have courage to answer them any longer about anything. Hallelujah. Well, that was verse 39. And as we look at this, here is the final attempt to Luke, to confuse, according to Luke, to confuse Jesus by arguments. As the series of these messages have been, Jesus been confronted all the way through the Holy Week, being tempted, being questioned about his authority, who as the Son of God, and now we see them questioning him about marriage in heaven. Now, And I hope to answer some of these questions for you if you have. I've been asked this many times throughout my life of ministry and so forth, about marriage and things will take place in heaven, and Jesus answered it right here. But it's only here that Luke's gospel mentions the Sadducees. It has been the high priest and the Pharisees and so forth, but here Luke talks about the Sadducees even joining the efforts in trying to confuse Jesus. So in order to question resurrection, a brief help both by Jesus in chapter 14 of Luke here in verse 14 and the Sadducees, if you go to Acts chapter 23 verse 8. Now the Sadducees raise a far-fetched example here. Even going back to the Old Testament, talking about Moses. And they asked Jesus about the theoretical marriage where a wife has seven husbands. And to me, it's obvious they do this in order to justify their disbelief in the resurrection. And this has been taking place in this series here in Luke. And it is in the other Gospels as well. So, there have been and will always be those like these in times and the priestly intellectuals who hold that the natural world and some authorities, for them, it was the Torah, the Old Testament. And for us, in our modern day, it's science. The races, these questions, even about creation itself. But we believe in creation over evolution. Now, also, they the authority of the authorities, for them, the Torah, for us, the science, deny the resurrection of the dead. Now, but the resurrection is real, and Jesus, the Son of God, the living God, will prove its reality this coming week. His death, burial, resurrection on Sunday will prove that he is alive. And God is the God of the living, not the dead, as Jesus pointed out here. So let's look at, first of all, in verse 27, the resurrection denied. The Sanhedrin, I'm just going to do a short phase here on this part because I want to move on to the resurrection supported, where I'll be more emphasis. But here, in verse 27, the Sadducees denied the supernatural happenings. They denied it. For whatever reason, the Sadducees didn't believe in a lot of things. They didn't even believe in angels. And so, or even demons. The Sadducees didn't. But they didn't, they also denied the supernatural of the resurrection. They refused to even face the clear prophecies of the Old Testament teachings about the future state. And they were skeptical about personal future existence related to the rewards or even punishments of the dead. So they also did not believe, like I said, about angels or demons or even spirits. And Luke talks about this in Acts chapter 23, verse 8. He even carries this out further. Or the inspiration of the Old Testament than the Torah and the five books of Moses. But these intellectual doubters control much of the religious and political affairs in the first century of Israel. They control that. But praise God, you know, Jesus set them straight on this. Now, let's move on to the resurrection belittle. In verses 28 through 23, And here we can see that Jesus, he pointed out that the Sadducees were wrong and that their question revealed assumptions that limited the power and denied the Word of God. See, the resurrection is not a reincarnation, or it's not a reconstruction of the Scriptures, but it is the miraculous granting of the new body that has connected with the old body, but not the same identity. Paul compared in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 50, where he said, our pleasant bodies to planted seed and the future resurrection body to the glorious flower and fruit. You know, a seed has to die before it lives. We will die one of these days to live eternally. And that's a mystery of life itself, how something dies, but it lives. You think about a caterpillar, how it goes through the stages of, and then it comes out a beautiful butterfly. Isn't that amazing? To me, those are wonderful miracles that God has created. And if you don't, if a person don't believe in that, I don't know. They're not really thinking clearly about creation itself over revolution. Now, our Lord's resurrection body was the same as before his death, yet different. And his friends recognized him and even touched him. Jesus could eat food, yet he could walk through closed doors, change his appearance, and vanish suddenly. So his body, when in the flesh, looked the same as when he died and was resurrected and glorified, but yet it was different. He had the ability to come and go and vanish in present or out. So we see how the Bible fulfills the promises that's given, even Jesus himself. So the future life with God is not a mere continuation of the present life, only a higher scale. And it is a mystery to us, with as finite minded as we have, to understand that this can actually take place. But we will maintain our identities and know each other, but there will be no more death. No more death. And hence, no need for marriage or childbearing. Christians do not become angels in heaven. We will share the image of Christ and be higher than the angels, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Angels appear in the gospel as men, but they are spirit beings. In this regard, we will be like them. There will be no more marriage, and again, no more childbearing. Now, isn't God powerful enough to raise the dead and give us new bodies suited to their new environments? You know, when he was going to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, he trusted God that he would provide a atonement, a sacrifice. And yet, if he followed through that and God allowed Isaac to die on the altar, he then also believed in the resurrection, that God would raise him back from the grave. So there's many, many scriptures in the Old Testament, Job and Psalms and Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, that share in the scriptures, that gives us their insight of future things that's going to be taking place from the living to the dead to the resurrection of new life. Now, thirdly, let's look at the resurrection supported by the scriptures. Jesus went beyond logic, and he referred them to the Word of God. And that is our defense today. Should anyone question us, Jesus always uses scriptures, because the scriptures is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the living Word. God spoke Word into existence, and therefore we can understand better by accepting God by faith in what he says. So, and particularly what happened to Moses as recorded in Exodus chapter 3, which Jesus referred to, and therefore the burning bush, you know, the glory of God. There a bush, it burned, but it didn't burn up. It was lit up like a fire, and yet did not burn. It showed God's glory, the truth of his scriptures. So here's God identified himself with Abraham. He identified himself with Isaac and Jacob, and affirmed that these three patriarchs were very much alive. But if they were alive, then they were out of the body, for they had died. And this is according to James chapter 2, verse 26. James alludes to this about the resurrection, that we have a glorified body after death, and the resurrection of our bodies will come forth. And there must be a real world of spirits being, or Moses would have not written these words. And by the way, Moses also affirmed the existence of angels in Genesis chapter 19 and chapter 28. He believed in angels himself. And then Jesus pointed out that Exodus chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 15 through 16 taught not only the truth of life after death, but also the reality of the resurrection, which means God is a God of the whole person, spirit, soul, body. You think about that. He is the God of the whole body, whether we're in the flesh or we are in our glorified body, because he created the whole person. He breathed his breath into man, into Adam, and gave us life. He gave us a soul, and that soul that he has given us will live forever and ever and ever. You know, this body would be laid to rest, but it will be raised in the resurrection one of these days. When Jesus comes back to this earth, the dead in Christ will be raised first, and those who are alive will be called up to be with the Lord. So there is a resurrection of the dead. Now, another aspect is God's covenant relationship with the patriarchs. He made promises of the earthly blessing to them and their descendants. Now, but he cannot fulfill these promises if his people are going to live forever only as disembodied spirits. So, here's the cue. Can there be a glorious new heaven and earth and no bodily resurrection of God's people? Well, yes, because God affirmed what the Sadducees denied: the existence of angels, the reality of life and death, and the hope of future resurrection. And he did it with only one passage from Moses. Jesus could have referred to other passages that teach about the future resurrection, but he he met his adversaries on their own ground. Other Old Testament books that refer to the resurrection is Job chapter 14. And Job, you know, going through what he did in life, losing everything, he didn't lose hope that God was going to restore his life and everything else that he lost. So he believed in the resurrection. He said, you know, I must die, but I've gained everything in life. And then in Psalms, David wrote about the resurrection. In Isaiah, he wrote about the resurrection. Ezekiel and Daniel talks about the resurrection. So even in the Old Testament, and the Pharisees and the high priests and all of those who saw and read, even in the Old Testament period, yet they did not believe. Now in conclusion, it is common for those that intended to discredit any truth of God or to confuse it, burden it with the difficulties. Now, those in our passage did not know the scriptures regarding the future state nor the power of God. And that's what Mark chapter 12, verse 24 says. But how precious are the glimpses into the resurrection state. You know, even Paul tells us when he went up to the third heaven, you know, he was talking about heaven itself. Heaven, the first heaven is here on earth. And then the second heaven is in the skies, in the galaxies and so forth. But Paul was talking about the third heaven that we cannot even beyond to understand what God has prepared for each one of us who love him. And he's talking about the resurrection one of these days too. Paul was going through a lot of things in his life with a thorn in the flesh and so forth, and God gave him a glimpse into heaven. Even John on the Isle of Patmos, when he was sitting there and God was giving him vision, he said, come on up here, let me show you what is in store for those who love me and one of these days will be a part of the resurrection of life. And of course, John wrote about it in Revelation. And he tells us a whole story about the prophecies and the things that's going to be taking place and for the believers and for the church in the first three chapters. So the resurrection is real. Christ's resurrection is real. And even though the disciples and all of us sometimes don't understand the mysteries of life itself and how death, we have to die to live again. But just think, if you plant a garden this year, you plant those seed, they'll die. But then look at the glorious plants and the fruits that come from it. And see, that's how our lives are. We are to bear fruit in this body, and then we receive the rewards and the great things to come in the future of the resurrection. How glorious that's going to be one of these days. And I'd like to close with Isaiah 26, verse 19. Where Isaiah himself says, your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. That's the resurrection. See, that's encouraging. Even the Old Testament prophets understood because they believed in the Messiah, because they prophesied about the Messiah. David prophesied about the coming Messiah, that he would die. And and the torture and the cruel punishment he would go through, yet he would rise, be resurrected. That's our hope of the resurrection. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we should be so excited about this time of year. The two greatest events in the world was Christ's birth and then his death, burial, and resurrection. And now seated at the right hand of the Father. So I hope that through this week, as you read the Gospels, and I encourage that, read the Gospels this week, and you'll give a clear picture, and God and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal to you from his perspective about the glorious resurrection. And not until Jesus ascended into heaven, till he saw Jesus, the disciples saw him go. And the angel said, "Why do you stand here and tarry and looking into the sky? Because this same Jesus who you see ascending into heaven will one of these days come again, just like you see him." And then it dawned on him, this is real. What Jesus has been teaching us and sharing through these 3.5 years of ministry, this is it. No more going back to fishing and to their old jobs. They went to Jerusalem, the upper room, and they prayed and waited for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And then Pentecost, 50 days later, Jesus was on the earth 40 days, and then he ascended back into heaven. But the Pentecost, the 50 days after the resurrection, then the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. We are the church today, and we are empowered, just like the disciples were empowered, to go out and tell others. They started to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and here we are, the other parts of the world, proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's real. And it's in your hearts, and we can live it day by day, looking for that glorious day when we see him face to face. Our Father God, we thank you. We praise your holy name. Thank you so much that you loved us so much. Not only did you die for our sins, but you inspired the writers of your word to tell us and give us a glimpse about your resurrection and the glories of heaven that we can't even comprehend. One of these days we'll see face to face. We'll know in part as we are known, as well as Paul says. So today, Lord, on this Palm Sunday, and as we live out this week, day by day, seeing a glimpse of your glories and the things that went on, Lord, help us to just comprehend and discern the importance and the glories of your resurrection. Whatever decisions are needed to be made today, Lord, press upon our hearts, lay upon our hearts your love, and reveal to us what changes that we need to make in our life that will reflect our faith in you and your resurrection. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.